Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen and I'm pleased to be joined this evening by Marie, who is a very long time part of the Sangha. She's in the Southeast Sangha and also happens to be the creative genius behind all of our graphic design. Welcome, Marie.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So the reason Marie agreed to be on tonight is that we're in the final few days of our Bridgewalk registration campaign. Not that people can't register after the deadline. However, we are up against the deadline to order in order to get a T-shirt because, of course, we have to order the T-shirts and get them to our printer and get them back and have them on the big day. So I think is it Thursday, Marie? End of the day, Thursday is our last day to register?
Yep, Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific time is the last moment to register and get your T-shirt.
Yep, and being human beings, a lot of us tend to wait right up until the last minute. So I thought it would be fun to talk to you tonight about the T-shirt design just because I just love it. I think it's really right up there, if not the best, one of the best that we've had in the 10 years of the walk. And so to kind of put it in context, I thought it might be fun for you to talk a little bit about how you go about doing the design work for the organization.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a fun thing because, you know, what I really love about doing design work and especially for Living Compassion is that conditioned mind just can't do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. It's not the kind of thing that you can really think out, or
yeah.
At least for me it's not,
yeah.
You know, that I can think out and plan and all that. It really just doesn't work that way. And so I pretty much just have to trust that if I get in the moment, it's, you know, the design idea is going to drop in.
That's so fun. And I'm sure conditioned mind tries to convince you that you need to plan and you need to think it up and you need to work hard and all that.
Well, yeah, because, you know, the first thing I think with the T-shirt this year, the first thing was, oh, no, I can't do it. I can't do it this year.
Yeah.
And I've been through it enough times to know that conditioned mind does come in the beginning and try to, you know, throw in some interference.
Yeah.
But just like with practice, you know, having been through that process quite a few times, I know that's not the truth.
Yeah, that's great. That is so fun. We're in the middle of a retreat right now. There is nothing wrong with your retreat. And we talk about that a lot, that, yep, of course there's going to be interference, but that doesn't have to mean anything. I'm just going to go forward and trust that life will give me the information I need.
Yeah, and, you know, I think design has proven illustrated that to me better than anything else it really ever has, and that I can trust that the design will happen without a lot of effort usually.
Yeah, and you know what's fun about it is to realize that everything about practice is practice, so including the ads that are coming out for the end of the Bridgewalk registration campaign, including the T-shirt that people are going to wear around the Bridgewalk this year, including, you know, the way retreats are put together, the food that goes on the table, the decision on how to transport retreat and seer. I mean, everything is practice. It's all practice.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how did the design drop in?
Well, I did have that initial, oh, no, I can't do it part. And then I thought, well, I'll drop that. And I got excited right away just about the idea of participation because really the Sangha's gotten me excited about participation because there's been so much of it this year.
Yeah, our goal was to have 10,000 participation points, and I think as of today we're past 15,000 participation
right.
points.
Right, and it was so exciting, though, to hear all the ways people were participating and then, you know, to think about all the people in Zambia that are participating in Cantalomba. Because when I think about the people that are, you know, feeding, what is it, what are we at, 650 kids right now?
Yeah, poised for 800, yep.
I mean, the level of participation that takes,
So
I did get very excited about the idea of, you know, making a theme around participation. And, you know, it felt like this year, this T-shirt came together really quickly. And so, you know, the first thought was a black T-shirt, and I loved that because it seemed very zen.
That was so funny when you said it. Let's do a black shirt this year. And I thought, black? We never do black. And then I thought, well, of course black. Why haven't we ever done black?
I know. I thought that too, because I thought, oh, my gosh. Because we talked about having a dark color this year, or a darker color, and so I thought, oh, my gosh, black's the perfect choice.
Yeah,
and so, you know, it just kind of fell together this year really quickly, because then, you know, I just thought, well, what if we just say participate on the front? Because I thought that would be really fun, because, you know, we tend to wear our T-shirts around each other a lot, you know, on retreats, and so wouldn't it be fun if our shirts are, you know, we read everybody's shirts, and it's reminding us to participate.
Yeah, it's a practice reminder built into your T-shirt.
Yeah, you know, and it's not, you know, it's all occasion, because it's not just about participating in our events. It's about participating in life.
That's right. You know, modeled so beautifully by the little graphic. Am I going to give it away if I describe the graphic?
Yeah. So then I had the participation, and I wanted to add a little color or something, and I found this little hand that was holding a heart. And I just thought that was perfect. You know, it really felt like it visually described the kind of participation we all do.
Yeah, and the heart is red. And I just, so it's so beautiful. So it's a black background with participation written in this beautiful script, I guess you'd call it, in white. And then the hand is this white silhouette kind of thing holding a red heart. And it's strikingly beautiful.
Yeah, it's a really simple shirt on the front, and I felt like that was also very zen.
Yeah.
And it was interesting when I did it, because it just popped in. What if I just do this, you know? And then I liked it instantly. And usually sometimes I do two or three ideas just to, you know, let people choose. And I thought, I'm just going to send this one and see if people like it, because I have a good feeling about it.
Yeah, and you were right. Yeah, everyone loved it right off the bat. Yep.
Yeah. And so then the back kind of evolved pretty much the same way really quickly. But you had shared with me the Bimba word for participation, which unfortunately I can't pronounce and don't have in front of me.
It's something like Ukwafwana, I think.
Yeah. And I really liked just how the word looked. You know, being a designer, I thought, well, it looks good. And I thought, why don't we put that on the back? You know, to kind of represent all the participation going on in Zambia, and then just kind of represent how we're all participating. Then I found a graphic that just seemed to work, you know, with some hands, a lot of hands, you know, volunteering to participate. And again, it really came together quickly. And I felt like, you know, it just didn't require conditioned mind at all to do this.
Yeah, and it shows to me. It's just there's something, as you said, it's a simple design and very, very striking and beautiful, really, very present
and then,
design.
Yeah. And then someone had suggested we put something on the sleeve, and so I thought the perfect place for a little meditator.
Yeah.
So we have a little white meditator on the sleeve.
And you know what I love about that is it ties the whole thing together in terms of really symbolizing that it's all practice. Every way that we participate is practice, whether we're sitting on the cushion or, you know, out in Cantalomba doing volunteer work or being a retreatant at a retreat. It's all practice.
Yeah. And I just thought somehow magically, you know, it kind of all came together really well in a design this year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. How?
Yeah, right. And we don't have to know how, right?
Right.
Yeah. So one of the go ahead.
No, I was just going to say life provided it, really.
Yeah. And actually another one of those, an example just like that, is our idea to culminate the registration campaign with adding these 150 children to the program, because we've been in conversation with Teresa about it. We've really wanted to do it. And we feel like, you know, with that, we need to make a sound fiscal financial decision around it. And so we put the two together and thought, okay, if we get 135 people registered, you know, the registration fee is $40, then that 135 people registered times $40 is enough money to buy the food for these next 150 children for the next 6 months. And so, and we've gone a long way towards it. In that time of the campaign, I think we need 48 more people registered in order to hit that goal. So really, really hoping that people listening, certainly if you're in the Bay Area, that you'll join us in person for the day. And if you're not, and you're the practical type, then just consider you're buying an expensive T-shirt. because everyone who registers by Thursday, 5 p.m. Pacific time, will get a T-shirt. So if you're not able to join us in person at the Bridge Walk, we'll ship it to you.
Yeah, and I like, Jen, that if you do register and say you're not able to come, it's not just that you get a T-shirt, it's that you enrolled a child also in the food program, and your T-shirt will always be a reminder of that.
You know what? That's a beautiful point.
Yeah.
Yep, you participated.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's kind of perfect.
It really is perfect. It really is.
So I told a couple of my friends today who don't even have anything to do with us, and they got all excited and said they're ordering T-shirts. So.
Oh, great. See, that's what I'm hoping. I really, because I do think it's that kind of T-shirt where it's so beautiful and so inspiring that you don't have to be directly involved. Tell your friends, buy one for your friend, buy one for your family. Jump in and make it happen. How often can you get a really neat T-shirt and enroll a child in the food program? So.
Yeah.
Fun.
Great.
So many, many thanks for being on with us this evening.
Thank you, Jan.
And thanks for all you do for the organization.
My pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Marie.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Great. All right, Michael, so we'll hand it over to you.
Sounds great. Thank you, Jen.
So, thank you.
Okay. And thank you, Marie. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Melinda.
Thank you so much, Michael. It is quite wonderful to be with you again. It's been a while.
Yes, it's great to have you back.
Thank you. And I am so looking forward to seeing that T-shirt live. It really is a gorgeous design. And it's very exciting. How long is it? Today is what, the 13th? We won't have to wait but another 2 weeks and a little, some change to actually be able to see it in the real cloth.
Wow. So so you're saying that we're about 2.5 weeks out from the Bridge Walk itself?
I think so. Isn't that right? October 1st.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. But as Jen and Marie were saying, there's only 3 more days to make sure that each person gets that T-shirt for themselves.
Yes. Yes. So time to jump on the web if you haven't done so already.
Yeah. Take a look at it. You'll not be able to resist it, I project.
Yes. And I think I'll remind people of where they can find it. I was watching along as Jen and Marie were talking about it, and Jen mentioned last week, if you go to the Living Compassion homepage and click on the Sangha participation game at the top there, and then on the next page, if you look on the right side, you can click on current promotion, and that will take people right to the T-shirt design.
The T-shirt, yeah. Yeah, or just take our word for it and register and
exactly.
Yeah. It's a very exciting time.
Great. Melinda, I have some announcements here.
I had a feeling you might have, Michael. Go right ahead.
So September 17th, that is coming up this Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. is the 1-day at-home working meditation retreat guided by the monks.
And it's a wonderful opportunity to have the experience of working meditation in the privileged environment in your very own home, no matter where you live. And people tend to rave about it.
Yes. And I believe the sign-up deadline is tomorrow. Let me just look here. Yeah, Wednesday, September 14th, by 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay.
And then the following Saturday, September 24th, is Guidance Day for monthly donors.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the day when anyone who is a monthly donor can sign up for a guidance appointment. And this is offered by phone throughout the day.
Yes, one of the really fine perks of being a regular donor.
Yes, yes, indeed. And then the following Saturday, as you mentioned, as Jen and Marie mentioned, the 10th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 1st, from 12 noon to 4 p.m., celebrating the Africa Vulnerable Children Project, the generosity of Sangha around the world.
For the 10th year in a row. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. You can register and join us in person for the Bridge Walk in San Francisco, or you can register for the virtual Bridge Walk. And either way, as Jan and Marie mentioned, your registration will enroll a new child in the food program, and you'll get a fabulous Bridge Walk t-shirt. And the last day to register is this Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, and I think Jen was saying you can still register. It's just that you won't be able to get that fabulous t-shirt.
Yes, after the fact, after this Thursday. Great. And then beginning October 15th and going through January 15th is the next quarter of the Reflective Listening Buddies Practice.
Yes.
Which is a program that offers an opportunity to connect with a participant in another part of the country or even another country weekly for 30 minutes of practice support. And the last day to register for this coming quarter is October 1st.
Aha. Uh-huh. And people, we really, really find that supportive of practice.
Yes. Yes, I have, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And then October 21st through the 25th, that's a Friday through Tuesday, Your Deepest Heart's Desire, which is a retreat with Dave McKay and Chris Larson. And that's at Southern Dharma Retreat Center in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina.
In the middle of the fall colors.
Yes.
Oh.
It would be right about that time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And also that same weekend, October 21st and 22nd, that's Friday evening and all day Saturday, Creative Power in Life and Art, Finding Your Creative Muse, Exploring Your Creative Path, which is a retreat with Sherry Huber and Jenny Fox at Namaste in Felton.
Doesn't that sound wonderful?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And the month of November, from the 1st through the 30th, it's Time to Feel Good, email class with Sherry.
And I understand that's going to have three different tracks this time.
Yes.
For people who've done it times one and two, there will be a kind of a separate parallel class. It's just really, it's amazing how they can pull those together, and they are really, really wonderful email classes.
Yes, yes, very supportive. And then from December 27th through January 1st, that's Tuesday through Sunday, A Conscious, Compassionate New Year, and this is a retreat with Sherry at Santa Sabina Center in San Rafael in beautiful Marin County.
Mm-hmm. Unlike any other retreat, we do.
Yes. It's become a Sangha New Year tradition. It's our biggest retreat of the year. It includes daily workshops and meditation, time for scenic walks, individual guidance with Sherry, yoga, and delicious vegetarian food.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yes, 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 yes. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes. And we have our first caller, Melinda.
Okay, let's talk.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Patty from Los Angeles.
Hi, Patty.
Hey, Melinda.
Hi. How's it going?
Good, good. I was basically calling just to drive conditioning crazy.
Oh, very good.
And just kind of watch what happened when I made the commitment to call. And I've seen a lot about that. You know, I Tuesdays I generally have a lot of kind of practice supports because I have a reflective listening call and I have a sitting group and you know, and the radio show. And so I've noticed that I get talked out of calling the radio show a lot because the voices say, well, you know, you already have so much support today, you don't need to call in.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that great? I just couldn't see it. It might just as well say, hey, you got enough love in your life. You don't need any more.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you watch the campaign going on. You're doing enough. You don't need to call in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the other thing is that it's like it says, you know, that if I, you know, if I have a reflective listening call in the morning, then, you know, whatever insights that I talk about on that call will already be done with that, and then there won't be any reason to call into the radio show. It's sort of like there's this idea that there's kind of a finite amount of awareness or insights that I'm going to have.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, ration them out.
Yes, which, of course, conditioning wishes were true.
Right, yeah.
And it could just unplug you at some point, and, well, that's enough. You don't need any more. That's your dose of insights for today, so you might as well just go to bed or whatever.
Right, yeah, Like I'm going to run out. And, and you know, and my experience is, you know, totally the opposite of that. You know, it's the more practice I do, the more I keep looking, and the more awarenesses I have, and so it's not finite at all.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing how that story has been, you know, kind of working under there for a while, and you know, and I've fallen for it.
Well, and you've seen it, which is just I just am really inspired by that you see that your experience of practice, and the more you practice, the more you see, is completely different from what conditioning keeps trying to hook you with, which is it is finite, and you've had your awareness for today, so you might as well wrap that one up.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been seeing that your experience, in fact, is very different from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, you know, it started to make me think about, well, what other things am I being convinced, you know, are finite?
Yes.
You know, like for instance, you know, time is a big one. Like, I'm always being told that I don't have enough time.
Right, right.
And so, you know, and that one is really believable. I have to admit that I fall for that a lot. It really does seem like, okay, there are only so many hours in the day, and I can't fit in everything I want to fit in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I guess, you know, that kind of dovetails with, you know, something that I wanted to talk about tonight, which is, you know, that I do find myself in that place a lot of like I'll have a lot of energy to do a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really passionate about those things. And then right on the heels of that, I get sucked into a story about how I just don't have enough time to devote to all of those things that I'm excited about.
Aha. And what happens then?
What happens when the story starts?
What happens to you when you have all this excitement and a whole bunch of things you want to do, and then somehow there's information that you just don't have enough time to do all the things you're excited about? And what I'm wondering is, what is the effect of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a frustration and a dissatisfaction.
And
there's a feeling of being rushed, so that, you know, I can't take my time and really savor the experience of what I'm doing.
Yes, and because in order to do all the things you're passionate about, you're really not going to be able to do them passionately, in a way. Because you don't have enough time, and I think a lot of that's probably in quotation marks, because this is, it sounds like you're kind of being set up to get to that point of frustration and dissatisfaction, yeah?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So what have you found works? Have you played with it enough? Because it sounds like this is kind of ongoing.
Yeah, it is ongoing. You know, what comes up is, what comes up is just, you know, thinking about some of the experiences that I had at the monastery when I was on retreat. And
mm-hmm.
there was this one day in particular that I remember where I had like a couple of hours with nothing to do.
Uh-huh.
And I...
It doesn't happen much here, does it?
So I went for a hike, and I remember thinking that there were all these things that I wanted to do during that break, and you know, very familiar process for me.
Got it.
And so I kind of like was engaged in that story for a little bit, but
mm-hmm.
then somehow I ended up just kind of choosing the one thing that I was going to do, which was I was going to hike down to the creek.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I started walking down there, and I was kind of going at a quick pace, and I didn't even realize how fast I was walking until there was somebody, a few feet in front of me, and I didn't want to sort of like get in her way or, you know, kind of bother her.
Uh-huh.
So I deliberately slowed down.
Uh-huh.
And it was just this amazing experience of, you know, kind of being forced to slow down and then realizing that slowing down gave me this like expansive feeling where it just felt like time stretched out.
Wow.
And I just felt like I had all the time in the world.
Yes. There it is. There it is. Which is so neat because you've seen that what conditioning does to you is you have all these things you're excited about, you want to do them all, and so it rushes you, and you don't have the opportunity to get to that place that you saw when you were walking down to the creek. You slowed down, and it felt like you had all the time in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That seems huge.
Mhm. Yeah, it was a really big moment to experience that kind of expansiveness of
yes.
time. And the voices right now are saying, well, that was different because that was at the monastery and you know, you didn't have, you know, all of these things to do there, you just had to do what you were told to do and blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh,
so,
uh-huh. I'm going to give you all the reasons that being present in the moment isn't going to work at home the way it works at the monastery, which is what I suggest happened to you, was you were completely present.
Mm-hmm.
You were completely in awareness and time became available.
Because mm-hmm. yeah.
it's like part of what may happen in the process that you find yourself in is there's so many things that you're excited about that no one thing gets your complete attention.
Right, yeah.
The way
yes.
the walk to the creek did.
Yes, that's exactly it. That's
mm-hmm.
exactly it. Because I can see how, you know, when I'm here, you know, at home and I'm doing kind of, you know, my regular stuff.
Yeah.
That there is there's space for that kind of alternate reality to come in.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm thinking about like all these other things that are not getting done.
Right. Right.
And that creates that lack of focus.
Exactly.
You know, the lack of presence.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when I was on that hike to the creek, I was so into what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was having like the best time in the world. And so there was no room for a conversation about, well, you know, you didn't get to do X, Y, or Z.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And if I understood you, what you did that day of the hike was you decided to choose one thing and to focus on that for that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So you mm-hmm. sort of, you know, you put a stop hand up between conditioning and your heart, saying, okay, we're just going to do this one thing. And then you had that wonderful, expansive experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what just came up is that, you know, there's a lot of perfectionism in me. I think I've got a lot of type one
mm-hmm.
in
yeah.
me. And so there is this kind of standard, I guess, you know, of that I'm going to be able to do all these things within a certain time frame.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's just the trick is learning to be okay with lowering that standard.
Lowering the standard, you bet. Yeah. And giving yourself the gift of the kind of thing you experienced when you hiked down to the creek.
Mm-hmm.
Being present for your life and not winding up in a place of frustration and dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that I made a recording about that because I had forgotten about it.
Ah, good.
And then I was like listening to my recordings from the monastery and that came up and I was like, wow.
That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, that was really huge, you know?
Yes, yeah, and there's a little, we'll just put a little highlight on that as a great testimonial for the recording and listening practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, because we do forget. We have these incredible moments that are
yeah.
where we want to be, and we forget that if we record them, then sooner or later that recording will come back around and, oh, yeah, I remember. Right.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, I still have so much resistance to recording and listening, and that's exactly why, because conditioning doesn't want me
right.
to remember that stuff.
Right. Conditioning will resist recording and listening until the end of time. Yeah. Too bad for it.
All right. Well, I think I went over my 5 minutes, but thank you so much, Melinda.
Thank
really
you, Patty. Check
you.
In again, huh?
Okay, I will.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us, Patty. You're listening to Open Air. And Melinda, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Melinda. Hi, Michael. This is Celia calling from Morgan Hill, California.
Hi, Celia.
Hi, how are you?
Very fine, thank you. And what's going on with you?
Well, I am a long-term Sangha member, but first-time caller to the radio
show.
Oh,
yay. Yes. Yeah.
So
say more.
well, I decided to stand up to the voices of conditioning. One thing that has been true is I have had very busy Tuesdays in general, particularly at this hour because it's drive time and pick up kids from school. But I have a bit of an empty nest these days and a day off, so that's one huge thing. And another is I learned through the email class, which I very much enjoyed, that I am very definitely a 2.
Ah.
So, and what's interesting about that is it's always been kind of a puzzle to me why, although I strongly identify with being a 2, it
mm-hmm.
can be extremely arduous and taxing to get involved in any kind of unstructured or undefined, I hesitate to use the word social situations, but certainly a situation like this where there isn't a clear agenda other than we tend to speak about practice.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been a mystery to me. And through the email class, I unearthed that there's so much depletion that goes on by conditioning in a tendency to want to meet everyone's needs that it's just like, oh gosh, one more thing I can't manage.
Yeah, particularly if that one thing could meet some of your needs.
Oh, that's wonderful of you to say. Sure. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Because that's not a direction you're supposed to go, right?
Oh, no, not at all.
You're not supposed to have any to start with.
Exactly. And then if I do get a need met, it's just a byproduct because of, you know, I successfully met your need or figured out what you wanted or tricked you into meeting my need. And
right.
Then maybe I could feel guilty about that. But, oh, my gosh, I hadn't really thought about that because that's so funny because the radio show has been the thread that has run through my practice even before I started my sitting practice almost 9 years ago.
Wow.
And I just so value every single caller, you know, no matter what, you know, how long or short term they've been with Sangha and what they have to say.
Yeah.
And it's a natural for me to call in, and here I am finally.
Yeah. And to really appreciate the power of the conditioning that would convince you that, no, this is just, you're depleted, you're too tired, you're not up for whatever kinds of language it has been using for these 9 years that has convinced you that calling in was just not something for you to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. Most of the voices have definitely been things like you mentioned. And then also this notion that somehow being on a quote-unquote public stage, like it will be too easy to be caught off guard somehow, which is so interesting because I've just listened with such rapt attention. I mean, one of my daily practices is I listen for 10 minutes by the clock just to be sure that it always happens.
Yeah.
To either the radio show archives
mm-hmm.
or the recorded groups at the monastery.
Right.
And I, like, if I don't hear something, I go back to the place in the recording, and I've so treasured. I mean, there just isn't a thing anyone has ever said that hasn't been something I've really appreciated them for saying.
Yes.
So, of course, I would extend that to myself in calling in.
Yes. Yeah, to consider that whatever Celia has to say on the radio show is really going to be helpful to people in the Sangha in the same way that you have found such value in all of the time that you've been listening to other folks talking.
Yes, quite so. And then just another thing that I was seeing about that is I noticed that in the mentor kind of helped me relax to call into the show because it really was a somewhat nerve-wracking thing during the day.
Take some courage, yeah.
And one of the things that she helped me with was to realize that not only wasn't it necessary to prepare in advance what I was going to say,
uh-huh.
but I didn't have to lead off with a helpful tip about my practice that might help someone else.
Oh, it's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, and I caught myself at times just wanting to lapse into a story about that, like how, oh, people might want to know this about recording, or people might want to know that about getting involved and when you're busy. And not that those things aren't fun to share, but I just have loved, you know, seeing that, how being a two.
how it works. And it really is kind of amazing, isn't it, what the email class has shown us about whatever our Enneatype type is. But it sounds like you were really unearthing information that is being really helpful to you because of the email class.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And then I just wanted to emphasize that I was kind of sitting on my Bridgewalk registration because, of course, I'm local and I don't have to make travel plans. But when I heard the Good News update, I went right online to get my T-shirt, so I'm really looking forward to it.
That's great. And I love it that it's participation, and the T-shirt is going to say participate. And, wow, aren't you just right there doing it?
Exactly. Oh, quite so. And I just also love the idea that we also can wear those shirts for one another, not just to signify support of the projects and that kind of thing. Which again,
and
kind
look
of
it in the mirror as well.
Yes, no question at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm happy to clear the line for another caller, but I'm so grateful for the chance to speak with you this evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling and for modeling for other folks who may not be calling in, and you'll call in again, I have no doubt.
Yes. Oh, thank you for saying so. I certainly will. Good night now.
Great. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Celia. You're listening to Open Air. And Melinda, I think there are points for calling into the radio show as well.
There we go.
Yes. Very fun. Melinda, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All righty.
Hi, this is Scott from Porchdog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porchdog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porchdog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porchdog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathed in an ocean of roses, what if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Melinda, we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening, Melinda. This is Beth.
Good evening, Beth.
It's been a while since we've spoken, and I'm quite delighted to have the opportunity to speak with you.
Yeah, it's great that you called in. What's going on?
Well, I'm still real.
You're still real?
Yeah, I'm still real. I still believe that I'm real.
Okay. Somebody's trying to convince you that you aren't.
Well, yes. I do that too.
Yeah.
The mental part has gotten a hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
Being a six and a mental fixation, that's my kind of where I get stuck.
Say more.
Trying to figure it out.
Oh,
the thing that I've
been
kind of noticing recently is the control element.
The control element of trying to figure it out?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes. And how's it working for you?
It's pretty exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it interesting? Because you see through it, right? You kind of see what it's doing to you.
I'd say I halfway see through it.
Halfway see through it, okay. And then halfway get caught in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And what helped you see through it, Beth?
Living in silence, I think, is a useful tool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No recorded music, kind of. Yeah, I think. I have some practices and habits that kind of lead toward seeing through it, and I have others that kind of
don't.
That kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet all of us can say that. There are things that we're aware really assist us, like calling into the radio show.
Yes.
Or living in silence, that really assist us in seeing how we cause ourselves to suffer.
Yeah. No, it's them. It's not me.
Yeah.
A major one. It's whose fault is it?
Yeah, it's something out there. It's not something I can take care of internally.
No. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And kind of seeing how often I go to, like, retreat into safety mode, putting up walls, defenses, my head goes down, my hair comes forward, I wear a hat.
And you see that. You see how that is. We sometimes use the language of posture, how that a posture that keeps you walled off.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And the sense of being right is one of the things that kind of keeps it in place.
They did it. It's their fault, and I'm right.
And I have the proof.
And I have the proof, and I'm going to pull my hat down over my eyes.
Oh, yes.
So nothing can suggest otherwise.
Again and yet again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And what is your experience of sort of taking the hat off and pushing the hair back and looking, seeing that way?
Well, there, you know, kind of when I'm more centered and grounded, there's, you know, no need for a hat.
Right.
You know, the hat just falls off.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, taking the hat off intentionally
mm-hmm.
doesn't work either.
If you're trying to make something happen.
I haven't been successful at it yet.
Mm-hmm. And so what assists you in being centered and grounded?
The weekly radio show is you know, a very old habit.
Mm-hmm.
My habits.
Mm-hmm.
One
of those nurturing habits.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Unlike, yeah.
To work, and my work has been set up as working meditation for 12 years.
Uh-huh.
So whether I want to or not, I just pick up the broom and things kind of settle.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't have any couches or chairs. All I have are, you know, chairs that I have to sit in the, like, on the front bit.
Like on the what?
I have to sit on the front part of the seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's no place for me to be, like, you know, just, there's no couch. I can't.
Can't do the potato number.
Yeah. And,
right.
And that's because I'm an addict. I can't have that.
Say a little bit more.
Okay.
I didn't quite track
that. If I have a couch, if I have a TV, it's going to be on.
Right. Right. And you aren't.
Right.
Yeah. So you don't have those things in order to support your practice, or it's just that you find not having them is, in fact, supporting your being able to be more often centered and grounded?
It's a kindness. It's not a deprivation.
Nicely put. Yeah. It's a kindness to not have a TV, not a deprivation.
Wow.
What are you seeing? What's the wow?
I've been kind of practicing solo for a couple of years, and it's hard.
Yes.
It's so easy to, you know, fall into temptation. And, you know, it seems that the level of suffering is getting deeper. It's either I'm either at center or I'm in hell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how it goes, isn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't happy before practice, but I wasn't so aware that I wasn't happy.
Uh-huh. And so what do you need? What do you need to do at this point in your life that would be kind for Beth? Yeah?
I have no idea.
But you called into the radio show.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you know that not having a TV is a kindness.
The garden is a great kindness. The flowers.
Uh-huh. And not practicing solo, finding ways to, our word here, to participate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. There is a tremendous Pittsburgh Sangha. There's a lot of people here practicing.
Uh-huh. And do you join them?
Well, they don't do it the way I want to do it.
We just heard from conditioning, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I have recently joined a Monday night group that, that has really strongly supported my ability to sit on my own.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, yeah. Because that seems like the answer, doesn't it? The answer to the deepening suffering and the way things don't work so well when you're not centered and grounded. To find more support, reach out more, join more sitting groups. One night a week is great. Find some more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And I love you.
I'm just reflecting.
Yes. Sherry gave me a mantra several years. Well, not a mantra, but, you know, just something to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago. And it kills me.
It kills you?
Yes.
But you're doing it.
Yes.
Because we know who it kills, right?
Yes.
That alternate non-existent reality. Yeah.
That I get caught in yet again and yet again.
Yeah. So say we all.
Thank you, Melinda.
You're very welcome, Beth. Glad you called in.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air. Melinda, we have another caller.
Well, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Ken. Hello, this is Ken from New York.
Hey, Ken.
Oh, this is an honor and a thrill to call you. I guess I left the retreat on September the 3rd, and I must be in the honeymoon stage because every day, almost every minute, has been just so amazing. Alive, and the support is just it does. I'd done something years ago. Went to 3 or 4 days for like an ACOA, a workshop, but it ended there. But with you last night, I listened to one of the shows from last week. I listened and all of a sudden I get a tweet. I love the tweets. It's like having a little guardian angel on your shoulder.
Reminding
you that.
And
the week there was just, it changed my life.
And it's so neat to hear that you are really taking advantage of the supports, because that's what makes them work, you know?
Yes, without it, I'll just go back to what I Well, hopefully I'll never go back to where I was, but yes, support is wonderful. And then I do, you know, I read the daily recollection. Now I can hear it every day when I'm doing my sit. And that is just, again, it just gives me energy. It gives me so much. Your books, I'm reading The Good Life now, and getting an understanding of the precepts, that they're not things not to do, but things to have us suffer less. So,
Reminders to basically little wake-up calls. It's not about rules. It's about, yoo-hoo, being present, being aware.
Yeah.
These things don't happen. Yeah. That's so great, Ken.
Yeah. You're a master architect of all the things you're doing. I can't do the walk because I can't get out there for the day.
Could you say that again? I'm not quite being able to. Since we got
a little bit of static
on the line.
I'm sorry. I said I'd love to come out for the walk, but I did register to be part of it. And I'm looking forward to the tweets that day and the working day. I'm excited about that. That's the first time I'll be doing that.
Oh, great.
And then, of course, the big one, of course, is I've been registered for the New Year's retreat, and that, to me, is it's probably making it a little bit hard for me to stay in the now, because when I meditate, like, I do think about what took place during the week with the phenomenal workshops and Jen and Sequoia and everyone there, all the monks. And the food was phenomenal. And I think I may have said to you, I gained weight. Well, I actually did gain weight, but I ate too much. It was so good.
Yeah, but it is good food, isn't it?
it was fine. I guess the one thing, and it's a minor issue. I shouldn't say it's minor, but I am that when I meditate, I do find myself not as able to stay in my breathing because I'm thinking about what took place at the monastery and things I'm going to do at the monastery, or with the monastery.
Uh-huh. So kind of planning, remembering and planning?
Yes.
Yeah, which I think is what most folks do when they sit and meditate. And what we get to do is, I'm sure you saw when you were here, is we get to see how conditioning does that, how it wants to kind of hold our attention.
Yes.
And then we bring the attention back to the breath whenever we can,
mm-hmm.
pull it back from conditioning. That's the practice.
Thank you. I will remember that as I do it.
It sounds like you are doing just A1 practice.
Well, you know, I mean, even in actions, I had for 20 years now, I've had one relative that I just had with a falling out, and I called him, my cousin, sat down, and all the walls came down, and we're like best friends again, because my heart really came alive that week.
Yeah, it sounds like you found something just really, really quite precious for yourself.
Thanks to you and, of course, Jen. I heard Jen's voice before, and it was just great.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful.
Yeah. And we will see you at Santa Sabina, it sounds like.
Pardon me?
We will see you at Santa Sabina over New Year's.
Yes, I'm very excited about that.
That's great. Yeah, we get to see a lot of Sherry in that retreat, and that's really a great practice boost as well.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to my appointment with you. It's like when I saw you that night, I guess my time was almost up, but I hadn't had that feeling. I mean, it's not when I was about 10 years old, Whitey Ford was a great pitcher for the Yankees. Whitey Ford came to our school, and it was like I was in a bit of awe. Well, when I saw you in the room that night, I had that same feeling. I must tell you that.
And I hope you're owning all of the projections that are wrapped up in that, Ken. Yeah?
Oh, yes. Bring me back. That's right. Bring me back to reality. Yes.
It's all part of who Ken is.
Yes, I do have to remember that more in my tapes because
mm-hmm.
I don't think of myself as being, as awesome or as amazing as the people that
right, but that's going to grow.
Thank you.
Okay, was that it for now, Ken?
That was all. It's called gratitude and also anticipating seeing you and being part of all the things you do, and they're great. Thanks for the support.
Yeah, and you're very welcome. Thank you for taking advantage of it.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ken. You're listening to Open Air. Melinda, it's fun to hear people excited and fired up about practice.
Oh, and it's so wonderful when people have been on the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and then call back in and let us know how they're doing.
Yes. Yes, and as Jen said, I think there are some of them listening to us right now.
Yes, and that they're staying in touch and in that way participating. It's such an important way to sustain both practice for themselves and the whole Sangha.
Yes, yes, yes. What comes up as you say that is, for me, it's a way to give back what I have received.
Yes.
By continuing to participate.
Well put. Yep, yep, yeah, yep.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Shelley from Portland, Oregon.
Did you say Shelley?
That's right.
Hi.
Hi. I'm a longtime listener and a first-time caller as well.
Oh, yay.
Yay. I could definitely get Celia earlier in the call.
Yes.
So,
that's great. So great that people are doing this and that you are doing it, doing whatever it takes to have been listening for a long time and then find the courage and the willingness to dial that number.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. And I am also a 2 on the Enneagram, and I was not in the class, so I found out about it a little bit later. But what I'm experiencing, and I would love some input and help with, is I've spent so much of my life, I'm a mom and I work full-time and going to grad school and everything, and I've spent so much time taking care of.
Got a few things to do, yeah.
I'm a little busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always focused on making sure everybody else is okay.
Yeah.
And what I am experiencing really intensely in the last few days is rage.
Uh-huh.
And like a what about me?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can see that I feel most worthy when I'm helping somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really would like to, I would like to start to feel worthy just by being me.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure where to start. I've read a lot of Sherry's books. I know about the meditation practice, but all of this stuff, and I haven't called in for so long because I kind of feel like all of this stuff is not for me. Like I'm not good enough to participate in this. And so I would really like to start to work on that, but I'm not really sure where to start. So I guess I'm calling in for some help.
Yeah, gosh, about a zillion things go through for me, but let me mention just a couple. Do you know about Sherry's, do you know about the recording and listening practice?
I do.
Because that might be, I don't know if you're actually doing it, but that could be a really wonderful way to work with all of the things that you have mentioned.
Okay.
And her book, What You Practice Is What You Have, is the book that lays out how to use the recording and listening tool.
Okay. I've got the book, too.
Right.
And I did the recording and listening and then kind of went away from it because I thought, well, I've got it all figured out.
good. Well, and one of the things we get to do as we practice, as I'm sure you know, is we get to start identifying when the voice that says I is really conditioning speaking rather than our hearts. I got that all figured out, image of, you know, sort of hands slapping together and we're done with that. And yet it's a practice that can really, that it's a practice that goes on for life as long as we are alive, because it is a practice of awareness and continuing to see the kinds of things you've been seeing and bringing in compassion for the self. That makes sense?
That does. It does. It's almost like I would love somebody just to tell me that it's okay, you've done enough, you can take care of yourself now.
You could.
And
I want
to say that to myself because I know I can.
Yes, yes. And one of the neat things about, for me, about that I see in being a two, I'm probably not a two, but I've got a lot of two-ishness in me, is that all of the things that we do for other people to help them feel okay is what we want.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a perfect mirror. Whenever I say to somebody, you know, unconditionally, you are terrific. I really love being with you. I can put that on my recording and begin to listen to it because that's the kind of thing that I want to hear. Or, hey, of course you're angry. It's okay to be angry. Tell me about it. I want to hear all about it. Really, as I sense you're learning, turning the focus on Shelley and really getting to know her.
And I think that's where the rage has come in, because I keep waiting for somebody else to do it and nobody is.
I know. Isn't that the pits?
It is.
Although if they could do it, then you'd be up a creek because you'd have to kind of be connected to them at the hip in order to have it all the time. Know what I mean?
I do. Do you think it's selfish to want to hear that?
I think it's the opposite of selfish. Because when we can feel completely good about ourselves and love ourselves no matter what, that spreads out to the world and everybody benefits. You get a sense of that?
Yeah, I think intellectually I know that, and I need to get to the point where I really believe it for myself.
Well, yeah, and the really believing it can come with the practice. Sort of like, you just do it. It's like learning a sport. At first, I can't hit that tennis ball worth anything, and I can't hit it, and finally, one day I hit it, and it goes, and isn't that wonderful, and then I can't hit it again. But over time, with practice, because our hearts know the truth of it. We just have to get our heads in line with it all without figuring it out.
That's a challenge.
It is. It is.
Yeah, and I feel like it's okay for me to tell everybody else that. But needing to learn to reflect that to myself. And I appreciate you bringing up the recording and listening. I'll get back to that.
The other thing that I would really, and you're probably picking this up from listening to the show, is sign up for the next There Is Nothing Wrong With Your retreat.
Mm.
It's a life changer.
I've been looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, kind of like, is that for me or is that for everybody else? Challenge today. I stayed on the radio show because I just thought, this is for me too.
Aha. Uh-huh. So, well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
It's like really, really an amazing kind of thing to have, and to call in, and to, it sounds like your heart knows there's something in this for you.
Mm, I think so.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you. Thank
That's
you so
great.
Much.
You're very welcome.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Shelley. You've been listening to Open Air. It's been my pleasure to be joined tonight by Melinda. And Melinda, it's just 1 minute before 6 o'clock.
It's just great, isn't it, that these first-time callers are calling and that the first-time callers are calling back. It's just so wonderful to have Sangha from everywhere jumping in and participating.
Yes, yes. I think we had at least 3 first-time callers tonight.
Yep.
Yep. You're very blessed.
Yes, yes, well put.
Yes, and I'm so grateful to be joined by you tonight, Melinda.
Me too, Michael. Thank you. It's been quite fun, and we'll do it again sometime, I'm sure.
I look forward to it.
Me too.
Thanks, Melinda.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.